the group from Memphis, did a terrific job. They handled themselves well and responsibly, and as a result, they wound up getting not only what Francis described as overt sympathy from the French police, but then some very sympathetic news reporting in the French press, a big story in the French press on a rather slow news day, and that's probably why they're rooting.
I see.
And so, you see, we were very interesting because they handled themselves carefully. They told the police what they were going to do, and the police said okay, and they dumped their mail. And there were several points at which Francis says, frankly, you know, they could have moved in and detained them or put a stop to it. They just stayed by and watched and let it happen. And this, even this, was duly noted by the papers. So, anyhow, it's one of those things that this kind of success, which it was, it's not surprising that they should react adversely next time around.
Now, has Francis made contact yet with the Missouri State Teachers Group from Columbia, Missouri, that is there now?
I assume she has, but I haven't heard.
Right, they probably will get the same reaction if this was the reaction to...
It could be that there'll be a temporary cooling down as a result. But I, you know, frankly, it's not getting in that makes that much difference. We all have to, I mean, I've seen these intelligence reports on how the North Vietnamese feel they handle these visitors. And in every case, they were, you know, they tell each other, you know, we convinced them to go back and work for peace and stuff like that. So really, in a way, a confrontation, a situation which puts them on the spot and a rebuff is may really be better. When they go reporting it back home, they say, well, the governor of Oregon was here this year, so we wouldn't see him, and he got some publicity about our turndown. That may be more of a needle than the fact that they report back saying we saw him and told him to go back and work for peace.
Of course, there's another good byproduct of that as we see it, and that is that when these people go over and have to go through all the frustrations and learn the North Vietnamese firsthand for what they are, then they truly grasp the prisoner of war problem and get back home.
That's right. They know it.
And
they
pass along to
That's right.
And everybody in their area the general attitude of these people.
That's right.
Frank, do you know any reason, I say know any reason, that's not a good phrasing, with all of the activity in Laos, and I realize it is not immediately around Vientiane at the moment, but do you see anything that would preclude a group of youngsters from going to Vientiane within the next month or 5 weeks?
No.
Well, the reason I ask,
in terms of
calling on the North Vietnamese and also seeking visas
no,
into
we
Hanoi.
We don't see any problem in terms of safety in Vientiane, if that's the question.
Right, that's the question.
No such developments are in sight. Something could happen, but
right.
No problems so far.
What is happening here, you remember the Pensacola group of youngsters that had such great luck over
right.
there.
And thanks, by the way, for sending that summary on there.
Good. Good. They are now, they had a little money left over in their kitty, you know. They raised all this money themselves through car washes, candy sales, babysitting,
right.
So forth. They had about $6,000 left over. So we suggested that they get a smaller group, still another group, the chaperone, and go to Vientiane, where they can get a first-hand look and also attempt to get visas on into Hanoi. And visit the prison camps also, you see. So they will get a real grasp for all of this. And can let the movement among the young people in this country flourish.
Yeah.
In a rather positive manner, rather than what we've been reading and hearing so much about.
Yeah. Well,
so they're all set to do it, and they're going to...
I think it's worthwhile. Is this definite enough so that I should tell Vientiane they might be coming, or...?
It is definite that they are going, yes. We do not have the date that they are departing yet, and if you want to go ahead and alert Vientiane that they're coming...
Well, I think, it's better to give us some sort of date.
I tell you what...
They need, don't forget to tell them they need Lao visas.
That's right, they're going to... Mr. Chandler is going to contact you directly.
Right, that's the best.
And you can get the direct readout on when they're leaving and so forth.
Have him call Jim Murphy, since it's a Lao matter. Jim
Good,
is the guy
we'll have him call Jim Murphy.
Have him call Jim.
And so we'll, it'll work out.
Yeah.
We still got embargoes going in Washington today?
Yes, so.
Jiminy Christmas. I talked to my friends at ABC today.
It's not, I must say, the problem with an embargo is that everyone goes wild in expecting massive thing. It's really not all that impressive, I think.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that the public understands.
Well, I know, but you know, operational secrecy and everyone goes crazy. But operations just have to be kept quiet sometimes. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's gotten a lot of attention and so forth. But it's not going to. I think when this is all unveiled, it's not going to be all that.
Yeah, I know that they have film in house in New York that they certainly would like to put on the air, and they don't consider it to be, you know, all of that crucial, critical-type film.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but they can't air it, and...
it's just not that fancy, I don't think. But I just hope it's successful.
Mr. Fulbright called his committee into session today.
Well, I don't think we have any immediate... the secretary... Well, I just don't know where that stands.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those questions. I don't know where it stands.
Right. Well, Frank, I primarily wanted to get a readout on the McCall thing, and you've been most enlightened on that.
We've been trying to reach, I may even try just calling the governor, because he's got an aide here in Washington. I haven't yet been able to reach him.
Mm-hmm.
But just have to see what they do about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Still no word on Vauvin Zhuang arriving in Paris.
Well, there is word that he's expected very soon.
Expected very soon.
Yeah, very soon. I think... he was going to leave Hanoi right after Tet, and so I think he may be here almost tomorrow or something.
Right.
Like that.
They are meeting this week, aren't they?
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, but he won't be in on that.
Right.
No, I don't think he will. He's not expected to join the delegation at all.
Have you had any feedback on a guy named Narkin?
Yeah, I know who he is, sure.
I mean, recently, in the last week or two, about activity coming out of Idaho where they're trying to get some wives to lend their names to letterhead so they can solicit funds and so forth for him to continue with his activities and get
released. I have not heard of that, no, and we consider him nothing but trouble, quite.
Well, we do likewise, and I might just alert you, and you can do whatever you would like with it, but I understand there is an organization that is called SPOW, S-P-O-W, Save Prisoners of War, that is being fronted by a man by the name of Myers in Nampa, Idaho. And this Dr. Myers, if I'm not mistaken, Narkin told me when I met with him in Europe, I'm a little hazy on this, but I think that Myers may be related to Narkin by marriage or something or other. Anyhow, Myers is the guy fronting and saying that they have an attorney who has a surefire plan to get release of the POWs. They've gone to some state coordinators that we know of. We have alerted those that we know of and put them on notice to pass the word along. I also understand that, and if you talk with the governor, McCall, you might find out if what we have heard. I have not talked to him personally about this, but I understand that the people are being told that Governor McCall has endorsed this. And
Governor McCall is kind of a bird, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that about my elders and betters, but he's a... I met him once. He's a charming man.
Yeah.
Full of fun, but he, he just really goes off in all directions.
But Narkin has a rather screwball plan, and he came to us, and he wanted a bunch of front money, and I told him, we don't have front money for anybody. I mean, if you're so sure of your plan, execute it, and we'll see that people are cared for.
He's an entrepreneur, and remember the first message we had from Saigon, they described him as an ambulance chaser.
Mm-hmm.
And he's chasing some very big ambulances right now.
Well, now, did he not within the last 3 months go down to the state of Georgia and file something like a $500 million suit against America in connection with...
That's right, on behalf of the My Lai victims.
Yeah.
Lovely play. I mean, it's just... But that's not gunning. That's the kind of game he's playing.
Right.
And the mixture of maneuvers that are irresponsible, embarrassing, and have a very large cash nexus.
So apparently this is or could be another money-grabbing thing, and I wanted you to be aware of it, and we're trying to alert everybody.
I'm distressed about everything I hear about him, and I just hope that sensible people like governors just stay very cool, and at best, I mean, just to say, well, that's very interesting. Let me know what happens.
Right.
I'm gonna go with that.
Frank, I won't keep you. It's nice talking
good
with you.
Talk to you, Murphy.
Take care now. Bye. Murphy Martin.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Murphy.
Hello, Satch. How are you?
Fine.
What's going on? Any word?
I haven't had anything. I was hoping to hear from Lou today, and I didn't. I'll probably try to reach him first thing in the morning.
Just a minute. Let me get a piece of paper here. I want to see if you know anything about it or how you read it. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
We've received a postcard. It's a big jumbo-sized postcard. It is from Moscow.
Right.
Postcard now, mind you. And it is signed, if I can read this, and maybe you can find out if it's somebody that's working with you or somebody you know about or something. It looks like H-O-R-S-T. L-A-N-G-E, Horst Lang. It could be another spelling, but that's what it looks like.
Yeah, you cut out on the last one there, but H-R-O-S-T,
what? H-O-R-S-T, L-A-N-G-E.
I've never heard of that name or anything.
He goes on to say... Your French representative, Mr. Maximo of Paris, was here during my absence and left a suggestion of cooperation on the Soviet market. I reported to my boss, Mr. Mitchell from Geneva, Switzerland, whom Mr. Maximo knows. I am a German, 35, married, two little daughters, have a university degree as a translator of Russian and English. I am working here since 68. I promote sales from West European and U.S. Tool, marine tool companies, I believe it is. I know about your fascinating career. My private question is, how does an American intend to approach the Soviet Union? The answer is important for the future of all of us. It can be found only by long and deep discussions. In Moscow and elsewhere, I initiate such discussions with people of goodwill, reputation, and power. I may as well come over to the States during my next holidays in August, on the only condition that there will be possibilities of 10 hours open-minded talks on all subjects. Yours sincerely, Horst Lang.
That's a new one to me, Murph.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe it might mean something.
I'll ask. I get a little disturbed with Nikki sometimes, okay? I guess I'm back at the stage you were at one time. I try to figure out what's going on. I'm going to try to reach Lou tonight, maybe.
Okay. I just thought maybe that you might could find out if this is something that we were supposed to get and is part of the overall, we can't really read into what the man is meaning.
Sounds to me like it's somebody who wants to do some business.
That's what it sounds to me like, too.
I'll try to find out. My friend, I'll get him out of bed tonight.
Okay,
I'd like to get an answer, else I'm going to have somebody's rear end shortly, I'll tell you. This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not so much I'm worried about losing face with you or Ross. That's not the point.
No, it,
the point is that, if somebody can't, I'm getting a point in everything. If somebody can't produce, I'd prefer for them just tell me, I can't do it,
That's right.
Or else I'll try, but I can't guarantee.
Right.
I'm getting tired of these guys that say, I got this great deal going, And when you come down to put up the show, they can't do it. It just happened to me today on a business deal with Northrop. We lined up $60 million worth of financing for a deal in Morocco for them. And the executive vice president of Northrop says, now I'm not really sure if we want to do that.
Oh, boy.
And I've got two German bankers that are very embarrassed, plus a guy that, that set the whole deal up for me. So I'm getting tired of phonies like everybody else.
Sure. Satch, it's good to talk with you. If we can help you, let us hear from you.
Will do. Right,
take
bye.
Care. Bye.
Ed, because this had happened, they weren't going to see anyone else. So
they say this every time any group. Then the next group behind you, they'll probably say they will not see because they have seen you or something that they would like.
I'm
to
sure
see
that them. There's that what they say is a little bit about a little bit devious, and I don't know whether to believe them or not on that point. So
right.
We were sorry we couldn't talk to them, but at least we were happy to see the Viet Cong, and we did talk to them. for 3 hours. So
that's wonderful.
That's quite a long time.
That's quite a breakthrough. I believe that's the longest anyone has spoken with them.
Another breakthrough, I think, is the fact that we took six people and they saw all six of us.
That's wonderful.
That
is most unusual, too.
That's what we thought. In fact,
most
I didn't
unusual.
Think about that until after we had been out of the room for about an hour, and suddenly I realized that all six of us had been in there. And we had a very pleasant conversation. Upon arriving at the gate, they asked us again what we wanted to talk about and said that if we wanted to talk about the POW problem, they wouldn't see us. So we said, okay, we'll talk about something else then, just about humanitarian ideas.
Right.
But after 30 minutes of conversation, I began to move the conversation toward the fact that if we really wanted to communicate, we were going to have to talk about the prisoner of war problem and let them know how the people in our country felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they talked among themselves. There were three people, three Viet Cong people there, and they finally agreed to talk about it. So we talked about it for 2.5 to 3 hours.
That's great.
And we didn't...
Did they make mention at any time, Dr. Otto, why they had not come up with some sort of list or would not provide some sort of list of the men they hold?
No, they did not. They did not wish to even discuss that point. They, of course, as you can well guess, they had their own party line. And,
yes.
But in between the party line, we did get down to some very sincere points. And one of the things that I talked to Tom about before I left was the fact that we were going to propose to them something that nobody on this end knows anything about.
Right.
Our delegation was advertised as carrying 25,000 letters for the teachers of the state of Missouri and some signatures from the city of Columbia. But in addition to that, we did carry, and the people here don't know anything about it, and I didn't mention it, we carried letters from families to these people, and they would not accept those. I sent them across town by mail, which I hope later they would accept. In addition to that, we proposed to them that they try an experiment, and that experiment consisted of releasing 10 prisoners to our group, to consider releasing 10 prisoners to see that this might help bring a more favorable opinion in our country toward their group. They didn't say much about that. I think they started thinking about it, though.
Mm-hmm.
So we left them with a favorable enough rapport that they may be considering something like that. And we told our people in the American Embassy this point, and they thought, well, who knows, maybe something might come from this. Because our group obviously was able to carry on a very sincere discussion with them, and we did establish a very good rapport. So who knows what might come from that.
Did you find, Tom, I'm sure, had filled you in on what the Pensacola group had encountered. Did you find that the general line of discussion was similar to what Pensacola had faced?
Well, I talked with Chandler myself on the telephone.
Yes.
Do you mean the line in trying to get in to see these people or the general line of discussion?
Discussion.
Somewhat the same, although I will say this, that at points we were so sincere with each other, I felt that the discussion, which I don't know how you interpret that, but to us it was quite sincere. This was at a point where they were talking about the hurt that both our countries had sustained and the losses of life, and they mentioned the fact that one lady there mentioned the fact that she had had a very large family and had lost 12 people out of her family, and she was emotionally almost brought to tears, and that's unusual for an Oriental, I thought.
Right. Who was she?
This was Nguyen Ngoc Dung was her name. Nguyen Ngoc Dung. I don't know her position, but she was there with Van Tu. And then the interpreter, whose name was Pham Thanh Van, another female, was on several occasions fighting back tears. You could see, you could just tell that she was emotionally stirred by the whole thing. And then they'd suddenly shift back into their party position, you know, and then break out of it. So we were in the party, we were getting the party line, and then suddenly breaking away from it, talking about specific points, and then entering back into the party line. But in general, we felt that upon leaving that we had done some good, that we had gotten across several points, to the extent that we let them know that we felt that the American people would never leave their country until we got the POWs back. And, of course, this hits them between the eyes when
yes.
we hear it from people other than government officials.
Right.
And
did you meet with him at Cambaceres or at Avenue Georges Mandel?
No, in her home, and actually in her home.
In her home.
Mm-hmm. And,
that's out at Cambaceres.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they gave us, of course, some printed material on defoliation. Being a biologist, they, of course, hit me with the defoliation thing. And,
right.
And, of course, I have very definite feelings about that.
Did they show you, were these the maps or were they actual pictures?
No, they didn't show us the pictures at all. It was simply some research studies had been done on defoliation and the effects of defoliation. We saw no pictures, no photographs, nothing of that kind. Most of our time was really spent in just sincere discussion.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Dr. Otto.
So I feel that what we have done here, I think that we have, as a group, we have really, if any group has done this, we have established some kind of rapport with them.
Yes.
That we've protected very carefully. In fact, we have protected it to the point that we've made the news media completely mad at us because we haven't given much out on it. We completely depressed all publicity before we left and didn't say much about it upon return. And we have the news media rather down on us here in this, in this part of the country, which is okay, but I'd
and
rather
you,
have that.
You maintain that posture in Paris also.
Pardon me?
You maintain that same posture in Paris.
We were never, we completely evaded the news media. No one ever saw us. We completely stayed away from them. And I feel that had some help. One thing I might tell you.
Yes.
We had the same frustration other people do relative to dispersing the letters that we carried. I carried 25,000 teacher letters from the state of Missouri. And, of course, no one would accept them. So, being frustrated, we went to the chief of police in Paris, didn't actually talk with him, but we got some cooperation in that you can actually disperse these letters on street corners in Paris, hand them out to the French people.
Oh, really?
Without being arrested. If you follow a certain procedure they have in writing, and I will send you a copy of that.
It's wonderful.
In French. It's a little bit sticky because it doesn't allow you to distribute these on some of the more populated street corners, but it does at least allow for distribution if you wanted to make use of it.
That's
the only
wonderful.
Request I have is that you don't tell where it came from.
Right, right.
But
I
will
understand.
Send it to you. And the people in the American Embassy also have a copy of it.
Very
so
good. That's good to know.
It could be a breakthrough for getting rid of all those thousands and millions of letters over there.
It certainly could. It sounds like it. It sounds like, Dr. Otto, that you had perhaps one of the most productive trips that anyone has had.
Oh, I think so. The American ambassador mentioned the fact that he was really amazed that we were able to talk to these people for 3 hours, and let alone get in. So I think part of our success, frankly, is the fact that we did conduct ourselves as ladies and gentlemen, though. I'm not completely in sympathy with some of these people that have made asses out of themselves, from my point of view, but representing the teachers of Missouri, I didn't feel that we could do anything but conduct ourselves as professorial people perhaps project, and I think it paid off. And also, not making a big to-do about the news media, I think paid off.
I think that probably is the big payoff.
So what I'm doing now, and frankly, I'll tell you this too, that your organization, of course, is not well liked over there. I'm sure you already know.
Yes,
that.
Yes, we're aware of that.
Hated, and we did not make mention of the fact that we had any relationship to Mr. Perot. So I would appreciate it if you do not.
Right.
Because if we have any rapport at all, it will be broken immediately.
Right. What do they have to say about us?
If they didn't say anything directly to us, these are things that came to us from the American Embassy. They mentioned the fact that apparently they had mentioned Perot and his activities as being highly irritating to them. I think that's a compliment, of course, too. I wouldn't worry about it too much. But if we do have any rapport, we sold ourselves as being completely independent. And if we do have any rapport at all, I think it would damage it. So I'm back now, and what we're going to do is follow up. We're going to cable them and try to keep building this rapport with the hopes that maybe they might possibly consider us for an outlet for some of these men.
That's good. That's good, because that is where the breakthrough is needed.
I think so, and the American Embassy group says that that's just exactly how it might happen, too.
It could well be, because as of now, they have at no time indicated that they wanted to turn, for example, to the liaison committee as an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
The National Liberation Front and the Pathet Lao neither have turned to them. And the people you were talking to, of course, control about 620 people, yes. Americans.
Yes. And the thing that was interesting was the fact that in addition to proposing that they experiment by turning over 10 people to us, we also proposed that maybe in the long run, if they did not want to turn these men over to our government, they could turn them over to individual communities from where these men are,
right.
You know, the individual community that these men live in. And you could tell that they didn't say anything, but you could tell they were thinking all the time, and they took every word down we said. So I think it's important now that we follow up by telling them that we're still here, that we're still sincere, and I think they can see that we haven't made a big to-do about it upon returning. So they may be checking up on us, and I want to keep that image kind of clean.
That's wonderful. Dr. Otto, it sounds like a great trip, and we're deeply grateful to you and all the people who worked so hard to make it what it was.
Well, I appreciate...
been anxiously looking forward to finding out what actually happened in the trip, and I'll pass this along to him, and particularly as far as the men over there are concerned and their families here, you're to be commended, and if you'd please pass that along to all of your group.
Oh, I will do that, yes.
If we can help you.
We're going to continue our activities and try to keep this channel open if we have one at all. I think
wonderful.
We probably have as cleanest channel as anyone that's gone over. And
you probably have the most productive possibilities in yours of any that we know of, too.
Well, because we do represent all these teachers in the state of Missouri, I think that has a lot to do with the channel here.
And it gives them a lot to think about, too.
It certainly does.
Dr. Otto, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
It's
nice
good to talk with you.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
I can bring things about, make things happen that other human beings can't possibly make happen, even with money. This is the point of the whole thing. And it's very difficult to try to describe it over the phone.
Certainly.
You need are the August and September issues of Saga, which precede this one issue I sent you.
Yes.
For background material. And in other words, it's a little hard to tell you. I'm the only man in the world who can do what I can do to bring about miracles. It's about the best way I can tell you. I have powers that no other human being has. Now these are proven. I mean, I'm not just saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I have witnesses and all that sort of. As a matter of fact, I brought about a multiple miracle here in Norfolk, as that article describes last summer. It was beautiful here. I've ended droughts over entire countries like India and so forth and so on. But just telling you this, I know sounds crackpottish, but it isn't at all. I have ways and means of doing this. Things that would be hard for Mr. Perot to do with money would not be hard for me to do at all with the powers that I have. This is the point.
Right. Now the first question that comes to mind, please don't misunderstand, but the first question that comes to mind is, with these powers, why have these powers not been used to, shall we say, stop a war bring relief to the men that are being held and that type thing? Why?
Right. There are reasons for that. I went to CIA in 1965, and I begged them to let me go to Vietnam. I could put a stop to the war then. Could have.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, at that point, I hadn't proved all these miracles. I hadn't done all of these miraculous things that have been documented by now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very much interested, but, of course, there you are, you know. Well, it's interesting, but... So, I just had to let it go. It's a matter of human choice. I don't know how to how to get it over to you. I'm dealing with intelligences that do not think like human beings. And human choice, freedom of choice, plays a great, great role in their philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I work by assignment from them, which is one reason I wrote to Mr. Perot.
Right.
And my assignments do not just encompass going out into the world willy-nilly, correcting this and correcting that. That isn't the way things work. It isn't the way things work. For instance...
Well, what would it take, Mr. Owens?
I beg your pardon?
What, how could the you and Mr. Perot work together? What would it take
to get
something done for these men and get them released and back with their families?
It would be very simple. The first thing I would have to do would be furnished with a base to work from, as I explained in my brief letter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. A base to work from, and Mr. Perot then would take care of me so that I wouldn't have to worry about all the plain ordinary things that I'm coping with day to day, which do not leave me free to do these other things.
All right, now what type base? I know that you mentioned that you need a base to work from, a secure base.
Yeah.
Some financial backing. Now let's...
Some financial backing, a little comfortable house in a relatively safe place. I can guard myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say this, you have to be realistic. I've had a few threatening letters, people. When you're different, people, you know how it is.
Yes.
People are leery of you. This
mm-hmm.
is normal. It's normal psychology, abnormal psych. You're a member of an out-group. But at any rate, I need a small house someplace where my family and I can be relatively safe and not have to worry about day-to-day living. Then I can get to work with maps, can work with Mr. Perot. I have over 150 of these mechanisms. I don't know whether you read the article in Argosy.
Yes, I did.
Ago.
Not in Argosy, no. I've read the saga.
Very, very interesting article in Argosy, a scientific article about Russia's progress and the use of Psi Force, PSI.
Yes.
Force. And I'm way ahead of the Russians. I am way ahead of the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians are ahead of the United States. It's an interesting thing. And now, if you check with Otto Binder, who has been a writer for NASA, he is a member of... a number of prestigious organizations, he will verify what I'm telling you.
All right, returning back to what we're talking about, you would need a comfortable home and so forth, some necessities.
I'm not after...
All right, then what time frame are we talking about, and what would happen next, and what would you need next from us?
Well, that's it. That's it. And
how long do you think it would take to carry out what you're thinking that you could do?
Now, this we don't know. We would try to make it as short a period of time as possible because I would have to unleash all of these forces that I have, the mechanisms, see how they work, and so forth.
How long, anyway, to approximate, just a ballpark figure to approximate how long it would take?
Well, let's say this. When I start out to make hurricanes, I can do that. I've done that in a week. I've done it in 2 days. I've done it in a week. I've done it in a month. Triple hurricanes. Giant power blackout I brought within 6 weeks. So it is hard to say. But I would estimate for anywhere from 1 to 3 months, I should think. But you can't put a time limit on these things. It's very hard. It might be done in a week. Let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
A man called Kralik, Andy Kralik, who was a stockbroker down in Sarasota, Florida, he asked me 2 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, he asked me to make a certain stock go up. He said, look, he said, you need a little money to live on, which I do. I'm not commercial. I don't charge people for my work.
Mm-hmm.
He says, look, Ted, you need a little money to live on. I'll buy $5,000 worth of Whitaker stock. You'll make it go up, and you can have whatever it is for the profit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It took about 2 to 3 weeks to make the Whitaker stock go up. One of about $400 worth, but he goofed, and he didn't sell it in time, so I got about $200. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So about a week ago, he asked me to make the Atlantic Richfield stock go up. I don't know a thing about stocks. You better interpose here. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about them. But he asked me to make Atlantic Richfield stocks go up. All right. So I wrote him back, and I said, well, that's going to be pretty tough because there are 10 oil nations. I happen to know something about international situations. There are about 10 oil nations that are fussing with the United States, and Russia's backing them. And I'd have to change all their minds and make them go along with the United States. And that's tough, but I'll do it. Okay, following that letter, about a week later, they changed their minds and they went along with the United States. And Richfield went up. I don't know how much, not too much. But this is the way it works, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would have to do, I would have to use a variety of my mechanisms. I don't use just one way on these things, as Otto Binder would tell you. I use a shotgun method.
Mm-hmm.
I use a variety of mechanisms. Mechanisms that don't exist in our world as we know them. Hard to even describe with words, but I know how to use them. Best way I can tell you,
What if we did this? North Vietnam says they have 339 American prisoners of war. They admit to having that many themselves at the present time. They probably have more, but let's use their figure.
Yeah.
And we say to you that do whatever you have to do, and I'm not playing around with it because I just don't know what to call it. Call it psychological or miracles or whatever you want to. But for each of these men that you reunite with their families within, you know, whatever period of time that you say it will take, that we will make a deposit in the amount of $5,000 per man.
No, sir, I'm sorry. I can't work that way.
All right,
what
is the difference in having the home and so forth? We put it in escrow and it goes toward that home.
Okay, let me put it to you this way. Suppose you wanted to hire Joe Namath to front your football team.
Mm-hmm.
You say, Namath, we won't pay you any salary. You want so much to play for us, for the Jets, but we won't pay you a salary. For every touchdown you throw, we'll give you $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Namath going to play for you? No, he is not. Things just do not work that way. And I don't know, sir, you just don't know my background. You don't know what I've been doing. I've had countless offers from people. If I would come out in the West and help them find buried treasure, if I would do this, if I would do that, they would be glad to give me half of it, give me a commission, this, that, and the other. This isn't what I'm looking for.
I don't quite follow, then, the difference in what you're looking for and
being paid piecemeal for helping an escaped prisoner?
No, not being paid piecemeal, but having money deposited in your name for you to do whatever you want with for the number of men that...
No. Well, let's just say, sir, that I couldn't do it that way. It wouldn't fall within my philosophy or the philosophy of the intelligences that I work with.
I somewhere along the way, I'm not communicating. I'm not understanding the difference here that you're pointing out to me.
There's a slight difference to you. There's a great difference to me. I'll tell you what. If you would please call Otto Binder. Do you know him?
No, I don't. I know the name, of course, but I've never met the gentleman.
If you would please call him and just tell him what you told me, he will tell you why I can't do that.
Well, why can't you tell me, sir?
Huh?
Why can't you tell me, sir?
I have, but I don't get over to you. That isn't the way it...
All right, let's put it another way, then. Let's say that for these wives and children that you... Just forget Ross Perot and our organization. That you would do it for these wives and children whose husbands are languishing in these camps.
What I'm saying, Mr. Martin, is this. I can't do anything until I am freed from where I am in Norfolk, from what I'm doing in Norfolk. Nothing. I'm waiting for someone to come along and back me so that I can correct air pollution, water pollution around the world, not just locally in the United States, end the war in Vietnam and Indochina, get the prisoners back home, and do a number of other things.
Well, I'm not quite following what it takes to free you.
It takes a base. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes energy, energy above all.
But a base is what? Maybe that's where I missed the point. A base is a small, comfortable home
somewhere where I do not have to, where I'm safe. A small home someplace in the mountains, or hidden away, or tucked away someplace, where I can operate from. I can't operate from downtown Norfolk in a small apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all of this commotion, interruption. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
No, the way to do this, the way to go about this correctly. Now, let me tell you how to go about it correctly. I'll tell you how to go about it correctly. Forget this business of so much per man. I'm interested in getting them all out, not just one at a time for $5,000.
No, I didn't mean that. I didn't say one at a time, nor did I mean that.
Okay, but here's the only way to go about it. And that is for somebody, Mr. Perot, or Mr. Howard Hughes, or for somebody, to experiment with me and give me a year of trial. Get me a small house somewhere. Let me have so much a week to live on. 100 or 2 to live on. And then let Mr. Perot or Mr. Howard Hughes give me assignments that they want done. I'll tell them whether I'll be allowed to do them or not. The size will not allow me to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Get these men out, certainly. Even stopping the war, certainly.
Mm-hmm. What size family do you have, sir? I mean, how many people are we talking about caring for?
Oh, we're talking about an 8-year-old boy. We're talking about a 32-year-old wife. And we're having a brand new baby in about 4 weeks.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not interested in just freeing these men. This would just be one facet. This I can do. But this isn't all I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in stopping all the war in Indochina.
Yes.
I'm interested in correcting a number of things around the world to get the world back in balance,
mm-hmm.
to get nature back in balance, because nature right now is at war with people, and pretty soon there aren't going to be any people left, because people can't beat nature.
Right.
Oddly enough, I can do this. I have the mechanisms. I have the powers. It sounds fantastic. Probably no one will believe that, with the exception of the people that I've worked for and witnessed the things that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Owens, let me talk further with Ross when he gets back in town, and we'll contact you again if I may.
Yes, Mr. Martin. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Nice talking with you, sir.
Right.
Goodbye.
Bye.